Thank you, Alex. Glad everyone's here today. And as I mentioned in Bible class, and as is in the bulletin, Lisa and I are about on our way out of town. We are headed down to Newcastle, Oklahoma. Bye, Ethan. Thank you. We are headed down to Newcastle, Oklahoma, which is on the south side of Oklahoma City. We'll be there sometime 9 or 10 o'clock tonight. And then we'll get up tomorrow morning and head the rest of the way down to Texas where my brother lives. And then get up the morning after that and go to the beach. So, excited about the beach. It's not the 3 days of driving in between. But Alfonso is going to be presenting the sermon next week. So, probably he's here and to encourage him and listen to his message. But this morning I'd like to talk about getting something for nothing. Which is sounds awful nice. We like the idea to get something for nothing. I like to get something for nothing. Free stuff is always good. Whenever you walk by the promotional, whatever it is, maybe Home Depot a while back, I signed up to get a free truck. I never got it. They never told me. Instead, they got my email and been filling up my inbox with all their advertisements. But I tried to get that something for nothing. I thought, well, maybe they'll pick me. I'll be the one that gets it. But what I'd like to talk about this morning is somebody paid for it. That I might get something that I didn't have to pay for, but that doesn't mean it was free. Somebody paid that price. We want something that's free. We want that too good to be true deal. And whenever we hear too good to be true, it usually is, and so we maybe stand back, well, I'm not going to do it because maybe what they're after is my personal information, what they're after, identity theft and all that, so I'm not going to give in. But at the same time, I was watching a TV show the other day, and it was a con artist, and he was talking and saying that people are afraid of getting conned, yes, but they're more afraid of missing the deal of a lifetime. And so that's how they work. That's what he preyed upon. That was his thinking as he described himself in the show, that if he could get people to realize that they might miss the deal of a lifetime, they'll take the chance to maybe get conned, and that's exactly what he does. But again, the problem is we want that deal of a lifetime. We want our ship to come in. We want that pile of money or whatever it is just to drop in our lap and to get something for nothing. But that is impossible. The law of science, the conservation of mass and energy. Mass comes from mass, energy comes from energy, yet nothing comes from nothing. Now, some of the quantum theory and things have tried to explain the possibility of maybe energy spontaneously coming to existence, and that's partially the theory behind the Big Bang theory. But when it comes down to it, as far as our everyday lives, what we see, what we do, what we interact, the law of science which we live by, something comes from something. Whether it be mass, energy, what have you. Everything that we see, that we touch, that we have, it all comes from somewhere. And so you cannot get something from nothing. Everything we make, everything we have, from the shirt on our backs to the pews that we're sitting on, to the Bibles we're holding in our hands, all came from resources. We're all either dug up out of the earth, chopped down from a tree or something. All of it came from something that was already there. And the plant that grows out of my garden, you know, starts a little seed, and basically it looks as if something comes from nothing, but it's pulling the nutrients, the particles, the water, sunlight. It's getting its ability to grow from all the things around it. It's why it has to be in the soil and why it has to have sunshine. Because it may appear to us as we're getting something from nothing. It's just magically appearing. But it's using the resource. It's using the resource of the soil. And to keep farming the land over and over again with the same kinds of crops and to not be able to take care of that soil, you start to see a deterioration. Realize it comes at a cost. It's not free. It may be a really good deal, and we might be getting the better end of it, but it costs someone, somewhere, something. Even the sun will one day run out of fuel, we're told. It can't just keep burning forever and ever and ever. Eventually it will run out of the helium with which it is powered. It will, that the energy which we get to bask in and enjoy, which warms our planet and it gives us so many blessings, and life itself comes at a cost. And one day that resource, that commodity, will run out. I might think I'm getting something for free, but it's being paid for by someone somewhere. And that's the idea of robbing a bank. Now, robbing a bank, sure, get some free money. But the problem is it's someone's money. The reason why it's sitting in the bank is because someone else put it there. It's not just money there for the taking. It belongs to someone. And while we might not have to put a face on it, while the bank robber doesn't have to associate the fact that he's thinking he's just robbing from some corporation that has all the money it needs and all that it could want. And maybe it's a big, strong, powerful corporation, but that money still had to come from somewhere. And so the person who put it in, well, it's insured, and they'll still get their money on the back end. Well, then insurance rates go up. And then the government taxes have to go up because of the FDIC insurance that insures the banks. And it doesn't just magically appear from nowhere. Whenever I was looking for a truck several months ago, I couldn't help but notice how many car lots were just full of new cars. And thinking, why can't I just have one? Driving up and down Merle Hay every day. Now there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, maybe even a thousand or two cars stretched down along Merle Hay, all for sale. I mean, they're just sitting there. Can't I just have one? Now, don't worry, I didn't steal a car. But I thought, why can't they just give me one? If I just walk up and say, hey, you know, you've got 600 cars sitting on your lot, can I just have one? You still have 599 left. And it'd be free to me, and that's a nice thought. But somebody paid for it. The dealership had to pay the Ford or Chevy or whoever they bought it from. They had to, at their own cost, acquire that, move it to their lot, and now are sitting there ready to pass that payment on to whoever would buy it from them. But it's not just free. And even if I could walk right up to the factory, well, the labor and the hours and the work and the effort and, again, the raw materials that were used to make that vehicle, it was at the expense of something, somewhere, sometime, in some way. And they might give a free one away as a promotional or as charity or something, but in the end, nothing is truly free. It's all been paid for. Someone had to put in their sweat, their work. Someone had to pay the price to acquire what was made and go through the process of making it. You can't get something from nothing. It's all costs something. And this is my complaint against things like casinos, or maybe the lottery. And as I mentioned in Bible class, the Bible says very little about gambling. And what it does mention, like the casting of lots, it really puts no real moral or ethical restrictions on it. And we might see some ways to be good stewards and look through the book of Proverbs and see ways to have a stable and a well-grounded and a functioning life. And so we might have lots of good reasons, good spiritual reasons to stay away from gambling, and I would personally encourage it, but there's no real Bible command, thou shalt not gamble. It's just not there. But whenever it comes to casinos, a trend that I've seen, because, well, spent a lot of time in Oklahoma, and they have now become famous for all their Native American casinos, and up here in Iowa, there's more popping up all the time. I heard on the news just the other day that Cedar Rapids is petitioned or put in their plea to have one built there. And the idea is, they think, well, okay, and I think this is part of the reasoning, we get a casino, all this money just starts to appear. Well, it comes from somewhere. In the same way with a lottery. Well, let's put in a state lottery so that all this money will just start appearing and we can put it into education or whatever they say they're going to put it into, or other social programs. But my perspective of the lottery is, yeah, you might give 25 cents to the school of a kid whose parents just spent $50 buying lottery tickets, not putting the food on the plate for their children. And so the money comes from somewhere. It doesn't just appear out of thin air. Yes, they might be able to do some good with it. And I can't say, you know, with any moral certainty you can or cannot or anything like that. But the idea that it's just free and falls out of the sky and doesn't hurt anyone, that's incorrect. Someone often pays a very high price, especially those who are prone to gamble more than what they're capable of supporting. Families fall apart. People go into huge amounts of debt. A price is paid. It was their own choice, and they made their own mistakes, yes, but don't think that it just magically appears. You can't get something for nothing. Every dollar someone earned. Either that or it's just printed off the, like for the stimulus package, printed and then the value of the dollar goes down a little bit. But it has its effect. It has its cost. And I'm acutely aware of this, that every dollar put in that plate could have been spent somewhere else. Came from someone who could have had the opportunity to spend it on maybe going out to eat, but they chose not to. They decided to put it in there instead, which is where I get my salary. And so I'm acutely aware that every dollar there came at a cost, came at a price. Every penny someone worked for, someone labored for, and chose to give it for the church instead. For its many expenses, among which I am one. And I've heard lots of fundraisers and the idea of, well, there's so much untapped money in your church. You just need to talk about give, give, give more, and people start doing it because they're just, I guess, the impression I get is a lot of the fundraisers think that everybody's just sitting on piles of money and they just have to get it. I know I'm not sitting on piles of it, and I'm pretty sure you're not either. But when people do give, they give out of, well, as we're told to give, out of gladness of heart. Out of a desire to want to do something that matters with our money, not just let it go away. But that money comes from somewhere. It didn't just magically appear. It was worked for, and it came at a price. Whether we paid for it or someone else paid for it, it comes at a price. Life itself comes at a price. We think that, well, that's the exception, right? Life is free. Well, every molecule in your body came from somewhere. Every atom. I was eating a nice ribeye steak the other day, and that poor cow died for me to have it. Or that ear of corn, or that, you know, stalk of corn, you know, produced its fruit just so that I could be fed and maintained and continue to live. So everything in me, from the water I drink, to the energy that I produce from the food that I consume, to the air I breathe. It's all being used. I'm using someone else's. What someone else would maybe potentially use for another reason, I'm getting to use for free, but it's all been, it's not something for nothing. It was all created by God, yes. But even that comes at a cost. And that might sound strange. Well, God's unlimited. He can create whatever He wants. So it's not really a cost. Well, God has infinite love. And yet I'm pretty sure the sacrifice of Jesus cost Him dearly. Just the fact that He is infinite in His ability to supply it doesn't mean that it doesn't cost something. And that's proven in Genesis chapter 1. All God has to do is speak and it comes into existence. But what did God do on the seventh day? He rested. Unlimited power, unlimited ability to create. And yet, it was still His work that was done. And we are enjoying it. It didn't just come from nothing. We didn't just get it free. Well, we got it free for us, but someone worked for it. Someone accomplished it. God brought it into existence. And He even rested as a result of it. We're told that every good and perfect gift is from above. It's from God. God makes it. God fashions it. God sends it our way. Yeah, it's free for us to enjoy, but it was paid for us. And that's the Lord's Supper here. The bread and the cup. It came at a cost. Now, Diana paid for the flour, what kind of flour is it, Diana? Sorghum flour. Diana paid for the sorghum flour, so that it would be gluten-free. And she paid for the electricity to cook it in her oven, I think, and did the work and everything in order to fashion it. And just the other day, I ordered 5,000 of these little cups. $130. It'll last us a few years. So really, the expense isn't that great. But they're not free. Every little one of them costs some fraction of a penny. And the juice that's poured in it costs something. But of course, what we're recognizing is the ultimate price that was paid for what it represents, the body and the blood of Christ. That great price, that great sacrifice. That's what sacrifice means. Paying a price without getting any return for it. Giving something up and not getting anything back. Everything that we enjoy, everything that we have, every blessing, every forgiveness of every little sin came at a cost. It didn't just come from nothing. God has infinite love and infinite grace, but that doesn't mean it doesn't cost Him to give it. It does. And His Son is the perfect example of that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Verses 7 and 8. In Him we have redemption through His blood. Right there is a currency word, redemption. We redeem a coupon. That means we get the price for. Someone pays it on our behalf. We redeem something. We get the charge paid on for our expense. It's covered. Whether we redeem a coupon or redeem a gift card we bought from before, the idea of if you can redeem something, that means it's already been covered. All you have to do is cash it in. Well, His redemption, it's been covered. In Him we have redemption of sins. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding, and the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace which He lavished on us. This is financial terms here. Redemption, riches, lavished. This forgiveness we enjoy was paid for. Paid for by someone else so that I could enjoy it. My kids don't realize that everything we have, somebody paid for. Whether it was a gift from their grandparents, a gift from aunts, uncles, cousins, friends, or whether Lisa and I purchased it and gave it to them. Whatever it is, everything that we have, someone paid for sometime, somewhere. And I was listening to a comedian the other day, and he said he knew he was getting old because now it's his hobby to go around the house turning off all the lights. When he was a kid, he could care less. Now he's an adult, pays the bill. When I was a kid, I left lots of lights on, and I probably leave too many on still, but I'm much more acutely aware that it's not just free. It costs something. And because I'm the one who's paying it, I'm especially aware of that and try to save as much as I can. Well, we're still kids who have just been lavished blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing upon us, not even realizing how much we have, how much we've been given, and especially the fact that it was all paid for. That it's not just piles of junk, because that's what God had left over lying around, but that He fashioned, He crafted every last blessing in our life, and of course, He orchestrated the greatest sacrifice in the world on our behalf to pay my debt, to wipe it clean, so that I could have forgiveness. In Matthew 26:28, Jesus says, "Take this cup, it's the blood of my covenant which has been poured out on your behalf." Poured out on your behalf. That it was given on your behalf. It wasn't just a lot of extra blood of Jesus lying around. He had to give every last ounce of it. Every last drop. He consciously gave for our benefit. It all, every sin we've committed comes with a price. Even if we don't have to pay it. And everything, again, even small acts of kindness. Turn to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2 is a warning of not passing judgment on each other because we realize we've all been forgiven. So chapter 2, starting in verse 3. "So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? If we are short with one another, impatient with one another, unwilling to forgive one another, we're actually showing contempt to the riches of God's kindness. Because He was willing to give it up. He was willing to pay the cost to show us kindness. Kindness comes at a cost. The person is showing it. I had some new neighbors move over here the other day, and Rosa wanted to make them cookies, and so she did. She took them a plate of cookies, little peanut butter cookies she had made all by herself. Well, we were in the kitchen supervising, but she had done it from start to finish. Very good job. Well, that's just a small act of kindness. It came at a cost. It took her effort and resources in order to accomplish it. Every act of kindness, every time someone shakes your hand, gives you a hug, says a nice word, that took effort. Every time God shows you kindness, showers His blessings upon you, it comes from His effort, from His love, from His endless supply of love, and yet still with cost, just for you, to show you kindness, to show you forgiveness. Every kind act shown to you, every moment in your life, everything, the very hairs on your head, it says that God has, they're numbered. God knows how many you have. Well, that's because it took effort to grow them. And some, He gave up. But it takes effort. Every last thing we have, every part of our body, everything, breath we take, supplied by God for us and at a cost. But the cost He considered worth it because of His vast love for us. So it's not free. It's not something for nothing. But it's been even better. It's been paid for. And if we realize that, hopefully we realize we are blessed indeed. That I have all I need and more. Because of God my Father, because of my Lord, Jesus Christ, and because of the countless family, friends, people who go out of their way, who have less so that I can have more. With kind words, kind actions, kind gifts. That should inherently make us grateful, and that's exactly what Romans and Ephesians and what we read over in 1 Peter's talking about. The riches of God's grace have just been poured upon you at a great, great cost. We've not been bought with perishable things like gold or silver, not with junk like that. We've been redeemed through the blood of Christ. We've been paid for through the blood of Christ. Be grateful. So we could say something for nothing. Well, that's too good to be true. It might be, but I know of something even better. And that is somebody pays for it on my behalf. Somebody covers the cost so that I don't have to. And if you want that, if you want to accept, the price has already been paid. God's already purchased your sins. Wipe the slate clean. You just have to hand him the slate so that yours are included with everyone else's whom he has saved. The price has been paid. The gift has been given. We just have to accept it and receive it. Acknowledge it, appreciate it, submit to it. Be grateful for it. And if you need that this morning, if you need the blood of Christ to cleanse you of your sins for that first time, it will keep on cleansing you. That first time we accept in faith and in obedience, in baptism and in confession and in repentance. And if you need that, if you need anything else we can help you with, we would love to, nothing else, expend the effort and pray for you. Whatever it might be, won't you come as we stand and sing?